All right. Welcome everyone to the October 18th, 2022 Verifiable Credentials API call. Our agenda is in the chat channel. Today on the agenda, we are discussing internal versus external API language. We're going to talk a bit about a test for the default issuer and an endpoint. We've got some amount of discussion around credential ID and whether or not we're going to use that in update credential status. That one's been hanging out for a bit. And then any other issues as time permits. We will, of course, start with our regular introductions, reintroductions, and relevant community updates. Okay, with all that said, let's go ahead. Well, the first question is, are there any updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else folks want to talk about today? Go ahead, Dave.
I didn't check the agenda for this, but I know during the JFF work, a number of things have come up around just a few minor changes for payloads for the VC API to make sure that the Exchanges API is consistent with the other APIs. We might want to cover that briefly and talk about getting spec changes in so that people that are implementing the Exchanges API at JFF are doing the same thing.
Okay, so let's put that first up on the agenda then. Right after introductions and relevant community updates, please remind me if I forget. Dave, can you raise an issue if there isn't one associated with it so we can just get that into the into the minutes? All right, any other updates or changes to the agenda? All right, first up, introductions, reintroductions, relevant community updates. I think we have a couple of new folks here. Greg, John, I think you've been here. John Henderson, I think you've been here before. But Greg, would you like to just do a quick introduction to yourself, what you're interested in, that kind of stuff?
Hi, my name's Greg Bernstein. Previously, I've been teaching web systems and cybersecurity at one of our local colleges here in California, Cal State University East Bay. Prior, did a lot of networking work, particularly standardization at the IETF. And I was teaching when COVID hit and got really interested in verifiable credentials due to the work for on that. And so my interest is general verifiable credentials, web interfaces for them, the security stuff associated with them. And I like to get hands-on and try out examples of things and such like that. And so I was looking at the APIs and got interested in your work. And already downloaded this stuff from Git and took a little bit at it. Look at it.
Awesome. That's great. Welcome to the community, Greg. Wonderful to have you here, especially given your background and your area of interest. We definitely need more folks down in the code looking at things and trying things out. So welcome.
Okay.
John, do you want to do a reintro? Up to you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Just very briefly. Yep. I'm John. I'm a software engineer with, the Energy Web Foundation. So we have a VC API implementation. So following along here.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome again, to the community. Any other introductions, reintroductions, or relevant community updates? All right. I have a couple. The first one is that I believe we came to consensus last week on publishing a snapshot of the verifiable credential API to the verifiable credential working group and the mechanics around that and all that stuff. So that is on my work queue. I hope to get to it in the next week or two. The data integrity work is also going out as a first public working draft soon. So that's kind of what the VCWG is focused on right now. And I'm one of the editors for that spec. So that's slowing everything else down. So, that's in process. I just haven't been able to get to it yet. Let's see. I think that's largely it for community updates. IIW, the Internet Identity Workshop, is coming up next month, mid-November. So if you haven't bought tickets, definitely do so now. They run out of tickets typically. And there's going to be a lot of interop work involving VC API as well. As you know, the Jobs for the Future Foundation is doing a huge interop plug fest between like 30 companies. VC API is involved in that. It's one of the protocols that people are using. And work is continuing there, as Dave Longley mentioned. Okay, I think that's it for community updates. Let's go ahead and jump into alignment, I guess, of BC API for JFF Plugfest. Dave, do you have a issue we can drop in?
Awesome. Yeah, I just dropped it into the chat.
Okay, let me go ahead and share my screen here. And why don't you get us started there while I screen?
Sure. I'm also trying to quickly find a link to an example. But the short of it is, a little while back in the Verify API, we decided to make sure that when it's either in the Verify or the Issue API, we made sure that when you're posting payloads to the API that you have a top-level property to put a verifiable credential or a verifiable presentation in. And the same is true when the data is returned. And we had a number of discussions around that and all agreed that that was a good idea and I believe we made those changes, but we did not make those changes to the Exchanges API, and the same arguments and rules sort of apply there. And so what this comes down to is a very simple change, so that when people are posting data to the VC API Exchanges endpoint, there should be a top level property for verifiable presentation if they're posting a presentation, instead of just posting a raw presentation. And I think here's a link to one of the examples that would need to be updated. So that link shows the post body just has a presentation, rawly posted there. And instead, what we'd want to do is have a property called verifiable presentation and put it under there. And the argument for all of that, that we went through before was to better future proof the API, allow other properties potentially be included and allow other things to be posted. And the same is true for any responses that come back from the server. So this issue is about updating the examples to bring that in line with the other decisions we made with the other APIs. And this issue also covers, trying to slow down my talking because I know you're typing this, Monu. This issue also covers, we have an example that uses put in the API, the HTTP put instead of HTTP post. And those semantics don't really match up because the user isn't putting a resource on a server somewhere. They're trying to execute an exchange using some transaction. So they're not just placing a resource there to get it back later. So post is the better semantic for that, allowing the server to do whatever it needs to do, not just store a payload or store a resource.
All right. Any thoughts, concerns? Plus ones, yes, we should do this. Minus one, no, we should not, from the group. So I'm seeing support from Patrick to do this, support from Mike Farley to do this. John Henderson, Greg Bernstein, Dimitri. Dimitri's reluctant. What's the reluctance about Dimitri?
Just changing code.
Ah, okay. Go ahead, John.
Could you just elaborate on the broken semantics, Dave?
Yeah, so let me see if I can find the where the put is from the spec. So here is a link to that. So put is being the place where you use put in HTTP is when you want to store a resource untouched at some endpoint. And so the expectation is that a client is going to generate some kind of resource, some kind of data, send it to a server, and the server is going to put it there, and then it can be fetched later. And really what's happening with the VC Exchange API is you might be posting, let's see what you actually post in that example. Hopefully we have an example of that. But what's being sent up is a verifiable presentation, and that's not just being stored at the end of the server. That doesn't even make sense. You're exchanging that presentation for another presentation that has like credentials in it, or maybe a VPR that is asking for more data. So this operation as a put makes no sense. You're not giving the server a presentation that it's going to hold on to and then you can go get it later. What you're doing is you're saying, here's a presentation that's meant to satisfy some kind of constraints or requirements in the exchange. And in return, I hope you give me back a presentation with credentials or you give me back a VPR that says you need more information. And so post is more appropriate for as the HTTP verb in that case.
Thanks. Go ahead, Patrick. Well, first, John, did that answer your question? And then after you, Patrick.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I was curious in this interaction. So we talk about verifiable presentation, but at which stage in the interaction do you actually make like a request for a presentation where you include your constraints and so on?
So when an exchange is first received, however you receive it, whether that's through like a QR code or through a Chappie interaction, you'll receive an exchange URL, and you're supposed to post an empty body to that exchange URL. And in the future, there might be other things to post to it, but right now it's just an empty body. And in response, you get back either a verifiable presentation with the credentials you're looking for because the server doesn't need anything else from you, or you get back a VPR that describes what else you might need to present in order to get the credentials that you're looking for. Then the expectation is you construct that presentation and you send it to the endpoint specified in the VPR, and the VPR either and the endpoint either says, okay, now you're done and here are your credentials, or it might have another VPR. And that process can go on based on whatever the business rules are for interacting with that exchange.
Okay, and when you say VPR, that stands for verifiable presentation request?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So we have a bunch of plus ones, a little reluctance to change code, which is understandable, no objections. So it sounds like we can make this change, unless there are any objections.
Yeah, no objection. I just want to clarify one more thing with Patrick. If you're starting a Chappie, if you start an exchange from a Chappie interaction, you might have the initial VPR given to you with the interact field for the exchange. And you can respond directly when that happens. You could respond with your verifiable presentation to the exchange directly in your first step.
Okay, because the framework I'm familiar with, like first you would establish a connection between two agents, and then the verifier agent would prepare internally a sort of a presentation request and include in there the ID of both connections here. But in the VC API, there seems like there's not that concept of connection between both agents. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Because I know there was another concept that people are working at. It's called like out of bound communications, which seem more in line with what is the approach here of the VC API, which is sort of communication that are not bound to any pre-existing connections. Yeah, so when you have a verifier, you would sort of create that request internally and then send that payload to the holder, and the holder would then see if he has a credential that matches that request and present the field that were required.
Yeah, that's right. And so you might be starting an interaction where you visited a website and you've chosen the credential or credentials that you want on that site, and the site's able to generate a VPR to pass to you through Chappie in the beginning. And then you choose a wallet and you respond to that VPR. But there are other use cases where, you'll receive an exchange, endpoint through some other mechanism and you might not know what to send to the endpoint first, so you just post an empty body, and that endpoint at that point would give you the VPR for what it needs.
Okay.
Right. I'm not hearing any objections, so next steps are to raise a PR that fixes the exchange's endpoints to ensure that we're in a verifiable presentation is returned, that it is contained in a verifiable presentation property. I have misspelled this.
Yeah, and it's also in the case when you're submitting one. So it's in both payload cases.
Okay. Is
sent or return.
Sent or return that is contained. Okay, there we go. All right, that's that. Seeing no one on the queue, I'll say this PR ready for PR, and we will try to get that fixed really quickly so that the JFF Plugfest folks can implement accordingly. Go ahead, Dimitri.
Just as a point, just as a data point, in case somebody's curious, I don't expect a lot of JFF implementers to go the exchange route. I suspect... But if you are implementing the exchange route and using it to test at JFF Plugfest, I'd love to hear from you. Just because it's a simpler, it's a slightly more complicated workflow than just issue. And so, yeah. I see Patrick's on the queue.
It's not related to what you said, so if people want to conclude that first.
Okay, and I guess, Dimitri, you're saying, like, if people are using, like, Chappie Playground to do it, you just don't have to do, and you have a web wallet, you just don't have to do VC API at all. You can get past the second Plugfest just using purely the Chappie Playground. Yep.
We have the exchange endpoint implemented. That we need to polish it up so that it matches the spec.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to really use it in the Plugfest for,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
even though we use it in production.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it. Go ahead, Patrick.
So regarding the last two little lines you wrote here, you mentioned that you want the verifiable version sent or returned in the verifiable presentation. I just want to point out, it seems to be related. So like when you issue a credential, the return body is the verifiable credential, without like a verifiable credential field. Shouldn't this match as well, or?
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that is what we talked about before. And if we haven't updated the spec yet to do that, we need to do that. But we had that discussion in a previous meeting and decided to do that somewhere else in the other APIs. So, but it, I don't know if this same PR could address those things all at the same time.
So ideally, like any request or response should have like one layer above the actual payload to say what it is, whether it's a credential, verifiable credential, presentation, et cetera.
Yeah, because that gives us the future proofing features that we want and allows us to work with these things. Yeah.
Okay.
Now there might be, this is when you're creating things, or exchanging things. If there's a holder API and you're fetching a credential, that might not be a requirement. But I don't have as much experience with the holder API, and so can't speak to that.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what we do here. We definitely, in the issue thing, we have a credential top level thing that contains it in the where?
I usually just go on the sort of the web API documentation page.
The return value isn't documented there. That's why I'm kind of digging in here. That would be, I thought we had components in here. Yeah, we do. I'm trying to see issue credential options. Maybe it really is in the issuer YAML. Credentials issue, request body, we specify it. We don't really specify issue credential response in components is where it is. Components, issue credential, where is that? Do we not have it? No, it's down at the bottom, sorry. So in issuer, looking for issue credential response.
So I found the other issue where we had this discussion before, and it is also ready for a PR.
Yeah. And it just hasn't been updated.
Yeah.
Because we just returned back a bog standard verifiable credential, and we should be returning back something with verifiable credential and this. Okay. And the reason we did this was because we wanted to support eventually other formats being returned by the issuer API. There's a theory that you could return back an MDL or, VC JOT or something like that.
So in the case of like, Aries and Akapai, so the AIPv2 extended, originally it was only a non-CRED, but the IPv2 extended this to also handle W3C data model credential, and you specify that like in the body, whether you want a non-credential or a JSON-LD credential. Mm-hmm. And I think that I really like the way that you define it, because obviously different data model of credentials, they don't operate the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. All right. So I think we're good there. We just need those changes just need to be made to the API. Okay. I think that's that item. So moving on to our next agenda topic, we're going to revisit the internal versus external API language, which was a discussion we started last week and kind of ran out of time, to talk about. Issue is here. And in this issue, let's see, where we got to last week was that we should move past the internal versus external language. So we don't need to talk about APIs as being internal or external. Dimitri, I see your request in chat. We can pick up challenge management right after this issue, probably. It's a good topic. But going back to external versus internal, Joe, Andrew, noted that we should specify the roles that are, you know, calling which component and potentially why they're calling them. Patrick mentioned that internal versus external would add complexity. Endpoints need to be anchored on a component, and we need to specify the roles that are expected to call the component. Any role can call any endpoint. It's whether or not they're authorized to do so or not is the real question. So there's a question around, you know, what are the expectations with these endpoints? Joe noted that we really should get this into the specification before we try to do a publication of a note on it. David Chadwick chimed in and noted that the language that I used here was sloppy about who is calling an endpoint. I tried to clarify that a bit. And then maybe we can pick up with you, Dave Longley, and then Joe.
Sure. I mean, what I said, Joe said better, which was just we should be talking about which roles we expect to call the endpoint so that we can create the, so people know how to create the appropriate authorization for those roles.
Okay, sounds good. Joe? You are muted still.
How about now?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, pretty much what Dave said. I mean, I think, you know, the key thing is some of these flows, some of us have what we might call tribal knowledge about what's expected. And so I think by defining who is actually expected to call what will help clarify what's the inside baseball and what's public facing. And, you know, I think that's a better way to think about this internal external notion.
Yeah, and I want to really hammer home that when we say who, we're talking about a role. I think people got confused about that, and they were thinking about, you know, individuals or that sort of thing. All of our – whenever we talk about answering the question of who within the context of this API, we're talking about a role that someone's playing, and we have well-defined roles. And if we're missing any, then that will should be surfaced through this exercise, and we can add them.
All right. We didn't want to make a decision on this last week because we were doing it in a rush. Is everyone okay if we move away from the internal external language and we specify what roles are expected to call which endpoints? In which endpoints are expected to be associated with which components. So the concrete PR is going to effectively be that. I'm seeing thumbs up from Greg and Brian, Patrick. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the queue.
Sorry, I was just trying to thumbs up and it put me on the queue.
Okay. That is kind of a pleasant, I like the plus one, but the thumbs up is like a much more pleasant sound.
I like it floating across the screen. It just makes me giggle. It's silly.
All right. So let me try and, write something here. Next, the steps are to raise a PR that, notes, two things for each endpoint. One, which role is expected, which roles,
is R. Yeah, it's the worst.
Which roles are expected to, rituals are expected to call the endpoint and to which components those endpoints are expected to be. All right. Any objections as for that next step? Go ahead, Patrick.
Not necessarily an objection. Just have a really hard time sort of grasping these two statements. So if we maybe take a more precise example, let's say we have the endpoint like get credentials, you know, just to get all the credentials. So if we answer those two questions, one, which role is expected to call that endpoint? What would the answer to that be?
The issuer controller role is expected.
Coordinator, you mean?
Sorry, thank you. Coordinator. The issuer coordinator role is expected to call the get credentials endpoint.
Which is on the issuer service.
Yeah, which is on the issuer. Hold on.
Oh, it's on the folder.
Let's do a simpler one. Let me try and start with a simpler one, because that one's a bit confused as to whether holders or issuers should.
In my head, it was pretty much a holder resource.
Yeah.
Like a holder as credential and.
Yeah, that one's complicated. So let's go to an easier one, right? Credentials issue. The issuer coordinator is expected to call the credentials issue endpoint, and the credentials issue endpoint is expected to live on the issuer service.
Right.
So that's a full stop. That's an example of that's an example. There will be a PR, Patrick, that we can all look at. And I'm sure there's going to be debate over things like get credential, right?
It's just the distinction of like what really a service means and this and the components. Mm-hmm. So the like component, okay, you have the service, which is a component, then you would have like storage, which is another component. Is that okay?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get, I'm sure it's not going to be as easy as we're saying right here, right? I mean, there are going to be ones like the get credentials endpoint, which have been confused about exactly what they do, for a while now, right? Meaning like, you know, it could be on any service really, right? Because,
also like me, like also again, like I know I said that a lot, but you know, my point of reference is really Aries, and like an Aries agent can effectively play all roles. You know, like an agent can has the capability to issue, verify, and store credential and present. So, in my head, like the distinction of those roles is more in the way that you will provision your agent and you're going to use it. So I have a hard time understanding this all the segregation of components. Just from my point of reference I have now and the limited experience I have. And it's interesting. I think it was Joe that mentioned there's like tribal knowledge, I think he used as a term. And I think that's very true, you know, because I had a feeling even when I started to join here, like there was a lot of things that seemed that were very clear amongst the people attending this meeting. But from an outsider point of view, it's not so evident.
Yeah. So yeah, completely agree.
If I could, I don't know if there's a queue here.
Please, no queue.
Have you seen the figure two diagram in the VC API draft, Patrick?
Yeah, is that the diagram with the, if it's the one that I think so,
Okay, yeah, that's definitely where we're trying to, you know, externalize the tribal knowledge. It's currently out of date because all the apps we've decided to rename as coordinators. But that's definitely the framework we're trying to tease out precisely because of the problems with Aries calling everything an agent and that it's hard to differentiate, well, what do you do when, right? So this architecture breaks it all out so we can talk specifically about who needs what authorization for what type of function.
And like, what's the admin here? Like the admin, the sort of square with the stripes, like what does that represent?
Sure. That's actually controversial. So I'll take the lumps, on the confusion about that if there is any. What that diagram means, or what that element in that diagram means, is that there is a way for the issuer to administer all of these services. And it is probably not going to be standardized. There was some initial thought from when I first presented this component. I think Dimitri spoke up and said, hey, this issuer admin, the administration side of it, I don't really think we should standardize. That feels too bespoke. And I think I agree. It might be nice to standardize it, but first we need to get the functionality working. So the point is, there is some administrative interface in which the issuer would set some business rules. They would set up the auth management. And ditto, the verifier would set up app auth management with the verifier services. They would set up the business rules with the verifier app. So it's a conceptual block of this capability has to be there, but it's not expected to be standard.
When you say interface, do you mean like a web interface, or is just an interface in general? It could be a command line tool or anything.
Yes, anything. It could be a command line tool. It could be a JSON file.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Just a way to input some configuration.
That's right. The main thing, if you look at the pattern, right, is the issuer, the verifier, and the holder only deal with the administrative interfaces, which is that's their direct engagement with the system, right? The issuer isn't in the loop when you get a credential issued. They are in the loop when they set up the rules for how those credentials are going to be issued.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this diagram's actually holding together pretty well, Joe. You know, I mean, we've been, I don't know, it was created 9 months ago or something like that, and it feels like it's doing a great job of at least getting us on the same page about the components in the system. That said, need edit access so that we can update.
Yeah, I need to get you the new diagram, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there an issue that is a PR? I'm sorry. Is there a PR with the change in code?
No.
A change in language?
Yes.
That I could add a change of diagram to or something?
Yes, there is. Let me, I think it is one of the open PRs, rename app to coordinator. Yeah, in here. That's me asking you to.
Okay. I'll go track that down then.
And ideally, we would have something that what we've tended to do in the past is some kind of shared tool that we can link to with the core diagram, that we can then export to SVG, because Respec supports it, natively, and, you know, browsers support it natively. Okay.
Yeah. I'm torn.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's there. The request is there, out there anyway.
Yeah, no. I will definitely get an upgrade. I also, though, would like to get towards SVG instead of this proprietary tool I use. So let me wrestle with that. But I will definitely get us an updated diagram.
Great. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. That's it for that issue. We have 10 minutes before we are supposed to break. So let's pick up Dimitri. Your issue around challenge management in the VC API.
Right.
Go ahead, Dimitri.
So can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So in implementing the verification, for example, but also this applies to the Exchange endpoint, so we require a challenge to prevent replay attacks, right? The spec requires a challenge. But in implementing, we're running into difficulties or these questions of, so how do we actually get that challenge from the verifier to the client that's going to be using it, Right. So it, the challenge mechanism, sort of assumes that the verifier and the exchange endpoint are sort of coupled. And so.
Hold on. When you say exchange endpoint, on which component are you talking about?
Which component does the exchange endpoint live on?
That's the question.
Oh, well, I don't know. Oh, we have an exchange API, right?
Every time it gets brought up, I ask these questions.
Yeah, the exchange API can exist in theory on every single one of these, coordinator diamonds.
I mean, it might need its own exchanger, coordinator. But so I don't know the answer to your question, Joe. And so one of the proposed solutions that we've come up with, but I've also seen other groups do this similar thing, like Dave Longley, is to have a challenge management endpoint. So my question to the group is, has anybody else run into challenge management problems? How do you provision a challenge? And I'd love for Dave to weigh in here. Go ahead, Manu.
Unfortunately, Dave had to go. But we can bring this up again next week. I can kind of report. I'm separated from what's going on with challenges today, but there's an issue here, issue 310. And so feel free to kind of take a look through that.
Oh, awesome. Right.
I think that's got the proposal for the challenge management endpoint. Typically, I know let's just talk about there's a presumption that there is a challenge endpoint on the verifier service, at least. It could exist elsewhere, but a coordinator can call a verifier service and say, give me a challenge. And then
which coordinator is calling? Because this is part of where I get lost with the exchanges and this notion here, and that the verifier app needs to keep track of its own challenges, but I'm not sure who it's exporting or giving them to.
The verifier service. Let's just hone it in on just the verifier, right? So let's say there is an exchange, and here's where the diagram might break down, Joe. So, mm-hmm. So on the verifier coordinator here, there exists an exchange's endpoint, right? And if the verifier at any point needs to go, hey, I need you to do dead auth, for example. That's an example where you need a challenge, right? The verifier coordinator would call the verifier service. Sorry, let me start from the very beginning. The holder contacts the verifier and goes, I want to engage in an exchange with you. The verifier goes, okay, I need to did auth this entity, so I'm going to call the verifier service and ask the verifier service to generate a challenge for me. Verifier service generates a challenge, which it remembers, sends it back to the verifier app. The verifier app then bundles that challenge in a verifiable presentation request and sends it back to the holder.
Why is it the verifier creating the challenge?
Why is this verifier not creating the challenge? The coordinator?
Mm-hmm.
It's a design choice. The coordinator is supposed to effectively have mostly business logic. Challenges aren't necessarily purely business logic. It's something that many services need that are kind of outside business logic.
So I argue that the defense against man in the middle is a business logic. We're saying we are doing this thing because we believe that someone could get in the flow here. So
yeah, but
it's an additional requirement on the.
Yeah,
rules.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think it's so common that, when these verifier services are deployed, it may be more useful to have it there instead of on the verifier, coordinator.
Right. But I'm challenging that because it's the verifier who we need to protect from man in the middle. Right. So the verifier is the sole source authority as to what challenge they should accept. As soon as they export that to the verifier service, they have to trust that the verifier service isn't leaking that information. Mm-hmm. It seems like a weird security vulnerability to export to the verifier service.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's see. So I'll write that down. This
Okay. I can see topologically they're essentially at the end of the day, they're the same. It's just who's on the hook for making sure that that challenge is a unique nonce. And I think it's a unique nonce in the coordinator's domain, not in the issuer's domain.
Yep.
I have one more note when you get that down. Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
I'd actually thought it was essentially symmetric that, because the verifier is the one who's, I believe, we expect to check. So that's an interesting question as to whether or not it's the verifier checking that challenge. If they are, then we still have to communicate that challenge to them or communicate it by reference to the earlier request, right? So if we request a challenge from them, then we have to echo it back. So I think we have to echo it back anyway, either indirectly or directly, which makes me think that net-net, we're better off just having the coordinator manage it and tell the verifier service what challenge they gave.
Go ahead, Dimitri.
So in discussing which component on the diagram the API endpoint should live on, I don't want to lose track of the higher level question, which is, should we have a challenge endpoint in the first place?
Well, it depends on where you want to put it. So that's...
But it doesn't in a way. Like, it's my question to the group is, would others find it useful if we had such an endpoint?
Well, let me push back on that, because I don't think usefulness is enough of a threshold for us. I think what we're dealing with is which owner of that functionality has the least security problems as a result of giving them ownership over that property. And it seems to me that challenges are not, designed to be exposed externally, except through the path for which you are defending against man in the middle. Right? So you communicate it to the party and they communicate it back to you. Having another party in the loop feels like a security, problem. So I don't know why you would ever have such an API.
Yeah, let me try and answer that. The challenge management can be difficult, and, you know, if the idea here is the issuer services are expected, they're trusted components in the system. Like if the verifier coordinator can't trust its verifier service, all bets are off, right? Because the verifier service can say, oh yeah, that thing's a totally valid VC when it's not. So one thing that we might need to think about here is, the trust boundary, between the verifier coordinator and the verifier service. The usefulness question that I think Dimitri was asking, at least for Digital Bazaar, was, we don't want to have to force coordinators to do their own challenge management, because it can get pretty onerous to do that. Ideally, we'd want to outsource that have the ability to outsource it. Now, you know, coordinators can always decide, I'm not going to outsource my challenge management. I'm going to do it internally. That's always a thing, right? So its exposure on the verifier service was meant to be merely a convenience function, not an absolutely mandatory, you have to call out to a verifier service to generate a challenge. At least that's how we were, thinking about it. Go ahead, Joe.
Hold on. Do you mind if I jump in and add a data point?
Sure. Go ahead.
The other thing I want to bring up is that, there's challenge management across the high level areas on the diagram, meaning, if there's arguments to be made that the exchange endpoint lives on the issuer, island part of the diagram, because the exchange endpoint is the thing that is issuing the credentials.
No, it's not. get credential is like, I really don't understand that definition of exchange.
Oh, get credential isn't doing that. So we need to.
Yeah, credential is not at all.
So if exchanges is what I call to issue a credential.
No.
Then I really don't understand exchanges. And that's what I heard you just say, Dimitri.
That is what we're doing to issue credentials on, like, for example, for Learner credential wallet. And the reason we're not using the issue endpoint is because before exchanging, there's several rounds of prerequisites that the wallet has to meet before issuing. Go ahead, Manu.
I was going to end the call because we're 2 minutes over, but I know Joe, you were on the queue, so we'll pick this up.
No, I'm good with this being an opening of a messy conversation. So okay. I don't think we're going to resolve it here in a few minutes.
Okay. The issue wasn't resolved on the call. We'll discuss this next meeting. Okay. That's it for the call today. Thank you everyone as always for the great engagement. We will pick up here next week.
Cool.
Thanks all. Bye.
Cheers.